It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
A special guest in the studio this morning, in town for a few engagements this morning, and joins me for a chat about the state of play with regards to crime and Gardaí and other issues and street safety and road safety. I speak of Minister Helen McEntee, Minister for Justice. Helen, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And welcome to Broadcasting House. Is it your first time here?
It is in here, yes.
Just put them, yeah.
Put these on, apologies. It's my first time in studio, yes, but I don't think the first time talking to the station, but delighted to be here. And just to start by offering my condolences just on the passing of your friend as well. And
thank you.
Just heard you speak of him there briefly, and sounds like he was a very good man.
He was a great character and a bit of a giant of our industry. I want to start at the start, Minister, and I'm disappointed to hear that you are not going to attend the annual conference of the GRA. Why is that?
Well, look, I engage regularly with the GRA, and I've met them only in recent weeks. What I had asked of them was to reconsider their not inviting of the Garda Commissioner to the conference for reasons that much of the issues that they had raised and their reasoning for not inviting him, those issues are being worked through. So around the roster, pay negotiations, you know, concerns they had raised around new online systems, much of these issues are being resolved, and I think it's really important.
But they did vote no confidence in him in a massive vote.
There was a vote last year, yes, quite a significant vote. And again, the vast majority of people voted specifically relating to the roster, and that was my understanding, and that was made clear at the time. That is now nearly resolved, and I think it's really important that I, as Minister for Justice, uphold the office of the Garda Commissioner. The Commissioner is appointed by government, and it's really important that the Commissioner and the representative organisations can engage, can work through any issue. He is head of the organisation, and I believe that being at a conference and the opportunity to be able to work through and resolve and to respond to questions that members have, that is the best way to do
it. Could you perhaps be accused of taking sides in the row between the GRA and the Commissioner?
Absolutely not. And I will continue to engage with the Commissioner or with the GRA. That's not going to change. As I said, I've met with them only recently and we had a very productive meeting working through the issues that I have responsibility for and where I can support them and work with them on the ground. But it is important that the government that appoints the Garda Commissioner, that the office of the Commissioner is not undermined.
Okay.
And it is the case that by not inviting him, that is what is happening here. So I absolutely respect the role of the GRA. The members of the GRA will continue to engage and work with them.
It's a pity that you're not attending, because you would not meet then one of my best contributors to this programme over the last couple of months with regard to the situation with regard to policing on the ground here in Cork. I speak of Garda Padraig Harrington, Detective Padraig Harrington, who's a member of the GRA and their local executive. But I do have some of his contributions, and maybe we could put them to you in terms of Garda numbers in Cork. Will we start with Garda numbers in general in Cork? And I spoke to Padraig Harrington after the last time that Templemore released a class, so to speak, and out of that class we got one out of that entire class. And I spoke to Padraig Harrington at the time.
On the 31st of December 2022, we had 604 of Garda rank members in Cork City. 1 year later, we had 562. So that's a drop of 42. If we required 604 guards, according to HRPD in Dublin, on the 31st of December 2022, why do we only require 562 on the 31st of December 2023? Even the 604, I can tell you, wasn't enough. And I've said that to you before.
And with regard to just having the one guard coming in from that class in Templemore, here's what he had to say.
Realistically, that one guard is only a quarter of a guard, because out of every 48 hours, that guard will only be on for 12, and is only available to one station. Currently, today, as we stand, of Garda rank who do the work on the ground, there's 570 guards available in Cork City. We are short, and I've always said this figure, we're short 120 guards in Cork, mainly 12-hour period.
Is it any wonder that people are afraid on our streets, Minister, if those are the numbers?
Firstly, overall, the numbers in Cork have increased over the last decade. So that's frontline Gardaí as well as the number of staff that we have, who obviously the more staff we have, they allow the frontline Gardaí to be out on the beat and doing their duty and doing their work. What we've seen in the last 2 years, and that's correct, what we've heard there, is that the impact of COVID has meant that while we've increased overall, we've seen a slight decrease in the last 2 years alone. So numbers had gone much higher.
120 per shift. Slight.
So we have a decrease all across the country in the last number of years, but we're still higher than where we were 10 years ago. So our population overall has increased in the last 10 years. The number of Gardaí that we have compared to 10 years ago has increased. The challenge that we face, and this is not just Cork, this is right across the country, is that through COVID we had 2 years where no Gardaí, no new Gardaí were coming out of our college, at the same time where you have a large number of Gardaí over the next number of years that will be retiring because of when they started a number of decades ago. We had a high level of recruitment. So we naturally, at this period in time, have more Gardaís retiring. At the same time, we had 2 years of no new recruitment. So my focus has been making sure that we get more Gardaí into Templemore. That's how Cork will benefit. That's how every county across the country will benefit. Making sure
management
that
also
coming out
management
of
also Templemore. Count the units that are here. I speak of the emergency response unit, the traffic corps. They count certain units that are here in Cork as part of the numbers on the ground, which according to the GRA, they are not. They're not available for beat work. They're not available to walk down Patrick Street. The number of guards available to walk down Patrick Street is 120 short per shift.
Well, what you have seen over recent years is a greater focus on specialist teams in Gardaí, and that has been a need and a requirement. So to your point, we have roads policing Gardaí, even though you have all members do an element of roads policing. You have domestic and sexual violence services within an Garda Síochána, the protective units. You have cybercrime Gardaí. So they are doing work that frontline Gardaí would have done
before. But all being counted in the official numbers as if they were on the street, which they're not. They're not on the street. Yes, they're doing very important work. Every single Garda that puts on the uniform of a morning, or even doesn't, is doing very important work. But they're not on the streets.
They're all Gardaí, though. They're all doing
extremely
important work.
Minister, they're not minding people. They're not on the streets. They're not there when someone's being mugged. They're not there when the shop is being robbed. They're not there. They may be in offices doing very important work. They're not on the streets.
Well, if you're telling me that a member of the Divisional Protective Service Unit who might call out to a house where a woman has been physically assaulted by somebody in her home is not there protecting somebody, I don't accept that. Yes, we need to make sure that there are people on the
street. Maybe if the guy's been on the street, the guy might not have got to the house in the first place to assault her.
If he lives in the house, then it's a very different story. And that's part of why I'm here, obviously. After I speak with you, I'll be going to West Cork Beacon Centre, who provide unbelievable services for, in particular, women who are victims of domestic violence, and now a new service supporting those who are victims of sexual violence. But the reason we have these specialist units is that when people are victims either of domestic or sexual violence, of cybercrime, which is one of the biggest crimes on the increase, where we have Gardaí who are dealing with these types of issues, that people know they are going to have somebody who has a specialisation in this area who's going to be able to deal with it. That doesn't move away from your point that we want more visible Gardaí on the beat.
Indeed,
and I absolutely
accept
that.
Because both the chamber, the Cork chamber, and those specialised units, you see, what we need, I think, Minister, is we need those specialised units, but we also need, in parallel, we need more visibility. Like both the Cork Chamber and the Cork Business Association, and I could fill a morning with the residents and community groups who say, I haven't seen a guard, I don't see a guard, I don't feel safe walking into town of an evening because I don't see a guard. Come back to the numbers you said about 10 years ago, and it reminds me of one, I have one last clip of Paddy Harrington for you, and you referred specifically to the traffic corps, which leads me to this revelation that he's just made to me, speaking about the traffic corps, in the wake of this decision to put every guard on traffic duty for half an hour in the course of their shift, and we'll discuss that in a minute. But you said to me that we had more guards than we had 10 years ago. I think Paddy Harrington might agree to differ.
The traffic corps in Cork City currently has 21 people. I think next week or the week after, that's going to be reduced to 20 because somebody's going on secondment to a different unit. In 2012, when we had less population, less cars on the road, we had 44 in the traffic corps. So you're less than half currently. You have a bigger population and more cars on the road. It just, like, unless you're going to put the resources into where the problems are, you're not going to solve it.
The numbers don't stack up, Minister.
Overall, the numbers are up. So how they are designated, that's obviously a matter for either the local chief super or the commissioner at the senior level. The overall numbers are up, and in particular, the staff numbers, so the civilian members of An Garda Síochána, up by about 130%.
At a time when we have a fresh crisis on our roads, our traffic corps is half the size it was.
So firstly, in terms of road policing, I mean, we all accept that we've seen an unacceptable rise in road deaths over the last 2 years in particular, and it is devastating because when we talk of numbers, we're talking about individuals and their families. And yes, enforcement is absolutely key here. What we do know is that it's not just the roads policing unit that do roads policing. So in particular for drink and drug driving, which has seen one of the largest increases in those committing crimes on our roads, 75% of roads policing for drink and drug testing is carried out by the regular unit. And so, for example, over the Easter bank holiday weekend, there were about 6,000 people stopped for drink and drug driving. That was regular units. That's not the roads policing. That's Gardaí who are out on the beat.
But while and they're doing that, while the regular units are with this new plan that the commissioner has of everybody doing a half an hour on their shift on traffic, and either it'll work or it won't, I don't know, I'm not a guard. But the thing is, while they're doing that, while that couple of guards have stopped their squad car and are setting up a checkpoint, sure, Mrs. Murphy's been robbed in Douglas. You just not got enough guards doing enough on the street. You're taking active guards who are not traffic cops from the traffic corps to make up a hole in a traffic corps that's half the size of what it was.
Overall, we need more Gardaí. I'm not disputing that. There's nobody disputing that. And the 2 years where we had no new Gardaí coming out means that we're about 1,000 short from where we should be now. So if COVID hadn't happened, the pace at which recruitment was gathering, we would have about 1,000 Gardaí more right across the country. That's including retirements and everything else. That would have an impact everywhere. But we've started from a standstill point, and we're now in a situation where only last week 186 Gardaí went into a class in Templemore. It's the highest class we've had since 2019. And those numbers are now starting to gather pace.
How many will retire this year?
We will have in the hundreds retiring this year. We will still be at a net in terms of the number of Gardaí that we will gain.
Double the numbers that retire.
Absolutely. But we have to make sure that we can get the numbers into the class. So if you let me say this, we had 5,000 people applied to become members of An Garda Síochána last year. We had 6,400 members applied this year. So there's people want to join. There's people we want to be part of An Garda Síochána. We have to make sure that they're trained, that they're the right people, that they go through a process, that we don't in any way jeopardise the process to make sure that we have the right people and that they have the right skills, that they go through their physical tests, that they go through their medical tests, that they're vetted, all of these elements. And that does take time. So in any period of time where we've started up a recruitment process, it's taken a year and a half to get to the point where we're happy, where we have a large number coming in. We're now at that point. We've done it quicker than had been done in the past. So the 186, I expect that will be higher in the summer when we have our next class. And I absolutely expect that when it comes to Cork, as those numbers start to increase, you'll start to see a larger number. It is the case for the most part.
Is it acceptable? And I want to ask you that directly, as the person to whom the Commissioner answers, as Minister for Justice. Is it acceptable that out of a class at Templemore, Cork, the second city, gets one guard?
the commissioner and his team have to look at where there are numbers
no,
required.
Is it acceptable to you? Does that sound equal, equitable to you, Minister? Not to the commissioner and what to you. Does it sound equitable? One guard.
There are some counties that got none. So I can't question.
But that's whataboutery.
Well, it's not really.
The second city got one guard.
It's not really now. You have to look at the overall figures. You have to look at the population. You have to look at the percentage overall and what is needed and what is required. My own county in Meath has the lowest population or the lower guard, the number in terms of population because of the significant increase that we've had in our population. And you have to look at, well, where have the resources been higher in recent years? Where is there a greater need and a greater increase required? Our capital city, with the population that it's had, has received a higher number, but that is because the requirement has been there. So I don't question where the numbers are going because it is very much a role for the Garda Commissioner to look at where the requirement is.
When he gives you an allocation or he gives you those details in your regular briefings, I know you have them, do you not stop him and question what he's at? Are you not his boss at the end of the day?
Well, my question is, are they needed? Where are they going? Is that why they're going there? And the answer that I'm given is, these Gardaí are going where they are needed, where the need is greatest. So I'm not disputing that every county needs more Gardaí. They do. That's absolutely the case. And as more Gardaí come on stream, more Gardaí will be put into Cork, more Gardaí will be put into my own county, more Gardaí will be put into Galway, into Limerick, to our larger cities. But
will we get our traffic corps back to the size it used to be 10 years ago?
Well, my goal and my priority has to be that the numbers are there for the Gardaí to be distributed.
Okay.
So that has been my number one priority. Not only have I increased the age at which people can actually become a Garda, we're increasing the retirement age, we're giving more money to those who are coming into the college to acknowledge the fact that costs have increased. We're doing a huge amount to make sure that we actually have the numbers coming through the college, and we're now getting to a point where the level of recruitment.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Is increasing and is now sustained and significant. Yes. So Cork and every county will benefit from those increases and those changes. But it has to be for the Garda Commissioner and senior management and all of the chief the superintendents and chief superintendents that they work with to look at where the requirement is, where the need is greatest, and to put Gardaí where that requirement and that need is.
Do you get, well, talk about requirement and need. Do you get it that my listeners don't feel safe, particularly my female listeners? As a woman yourself, my female listeners, Minister, do not feel safe on the streets of Cork of an evening, of a morning, in the dark. They do not feel safe.
I wouldn't for a second question how somebody feels, and if that's what you're telling me, then I accept that. There are a number of ways in which we can make people feel safe. And I know that because I've engaged with the representatives here in Cork. I've been down in Cork. I've met with the Chamber. I've met with my own colleagues. I've met with Minister Coveney, Minister Burke and others. I have listened to what they're saying to me. And yes, a physical Garda presence on the ground is what people want, but it's also other issues as well. And particularly post-COVID, we've seen a change in our city centres. We've seen a change in the people who are there. We have less people working in office buildings.
COVID got to do with numbers? Safety? With spiking, for example?
Well, in terms of numbers, it's exactly what I've said.
With women being attacked and beaten. What does COVID have to do with that? We waved goodbye to COVID nearly 2 years ago now.
Well, what's clear, and again, this was said to me here in Cork, that post-COVID, there has been a change in the feel, in the atmosphere, in the people who are in our city centre.
Yeah, because they can get away with it.
No, I don't think
there isn't a guard for miles. Well, okay, let's come out of the city and let's go to Carrigaline. And I could fill a morning with people whose cars have been broken into, money taken, property taken, cars damaged. And there are now, Carrigaline is now a hotspot for car crime. And one of the reasons being, sure, the guard at the station in Carrigaline might as well be an ornament. There's no one there. The nearest guard is in Toker. And they are robbing cars, youngsters are robbing cars with impunity in Carrigaline every night of the week. Because there's no guard there and they know it.
Well, people might want to hear it, but the overall figure for burglaries in Cork is down. That's not to say, and that's not to diminish anybody who's had something robbed. I'm not for a second, but I'm just saying they are the
facts.
But
why do you keep referring back to a number rather than people's lived experience, Minister? Numbers are up on a page and they look lovely, but people's lived experience that they're filling my programmes with of cars being stolen and damaged.
And I haven't, and in fact I've said even when we're talking about road deaths that we're talking about people here, and when you asked about women feeling safe, I said absolutely, I don't for a second dismiss what people are saying, but I do have to state the facts and say that burglaries are down. That's not to dismiss what's happened to anybody, and what I want to make sure is that where a crime is committed, that the resources are there. So it is my job to make sure that we have the numbers coming out of Temple Moor. It is then the role for the Gardaí to make sure that they are where they need to be, but yes, we need more Gardaí. That's why it's been my number one priority.
Could I suggest that maybe the numbers are down because, and again, I if I went looking, I'd find the tapes. One of the reasons the numbers are down, Minister, is for something like having money or something robbed out the back of your car. They don't even bother reporting it now. People don't even bother reporting these crimes because they know that the guards are powerless because A, there's so few of them, and B, the guys are long gone.
I would encourage anybody who's a victim of a crime to report it. And this is a fact that I made very clear to members of the retail community, to the chamber, to others when I met them here in Cork. If you do not report the crime, if it's not logged as a crime, if there isn't a clear picture of what is going on, then the full understanding of what is required, particularly in relation to resources, can't actually be managed. So if you are looking at where a resource is needed, where are there higher levels of crime? Where have there been spikes? Where are there significant issues? If people are not reporting the crimes, then senior management, the Garda Commissioner and others and those responsible for resources cannot actually resource accurately. So I would encourage, I really would encourage anybody, if you are a victim of a crime, please report it, because we need to make sure that if there are significant issues in areas, that that can be highlighted, that that can be seen. And if there are more resources required, that there's a focus there. So if that's not visible to the Commissioner, to others, it makes it more difficult for them to allocate.
Can we come back to road safety and to the things that lead to the roads being safer? One of them is mobile phones are a massive, massive problem. I spoke last year to Dr. Jason Vandeveld. Now, forgive you if the name wasn't familiar to you, but put it this way. If you have an accident, the first face you want to see is Jason Vandeveld's. That's how good this doctor is. Here's what he told me last summer. Jason, you see what happens in car crashes every day of the week. There is a spate of it at the moment.
We're getting statistics thrown at us at the moment. And while the number of fatalities continues to rise, you know, there are 10 times as many individuals enduring severe life-changing injuries. Some of my worst memories, to arrive at a mangled car with a young person who has been seriously injured or worse, still holding onto their mobile phone with that frantic friend still on the video call. That, PJ, is what haunts me.
As he told me that, there was a tear in his eye because he come across so often. What can we do?
Yeah, it's even harrowing listening to that. I mean, there's a need for behavioural change here. And, you know, and you mightn't like me saying this, but in particular, and I know this from talking to Gardaí, and I know this from talking to a lot of people, including the RSA, post-COVID again, behaviours on our road have completely changed. About 30% of the recent road deaths have been young people under 30. A lot of it has been related to speeding. It is related to people being on the phone. It is a huge amount of drink and drug taking as well.
Because,
across the board.
Very few checkpoints. You get away with it again. Drink driving's on the up.
No, and you know, we have to look at this in a number of different ways. Enforcement's absolutely key. But to my earlier point, 6,000 people were stopped for drink and drug driving over the Easter bank holiday weekend. That was done by ordinary members. That was not the checkpoints on the road. 1% of people who are stopped for drink and drug driving are stopped at checkpoints. This is where you have a guard that notices somebody veering across the lane, somebody who's not driving properly, where somebody's being erratic. So there's a role for every member of An Garda Síochána here, including the roads policing. But separate to that, there has to be an increase in technology. So we know in Australia, for example, if you have a mobile phone in your hand or on your lap or your passenger has one, there are cameras all over the country on our roads and they detect that. So that work is being done through the Department of Transport and with the TII to look at how we can have better use of technology where people would automatically be caught and got fines. So that requires technology, not members of An Garda Síochána. Separate to that then, we have now new average speed cameras that are being put in and static cameras across the country. Yeah. It's a start. It's not as high a number as we want, but we will get to a higher number. And what we know is where
people need to be afraid to speed. People need to be afraid to speed. They need to be afraid to use their mobile phone. They need to be afraid to drink. They need to be afraid to, you know, they're not anymore. A lot of people are not anymore. And maybe come back to the 120 short per shift. Maybe it comes back to that. But we could stay all day talking numbers. I just wanted, before I know our time is short, and I'm appreciative of how much time you're spending here, Minister. I want to talk briefly about immigration. We're a very welcoming country. We have welcomed tens of thousands of people, as you know. However, more and more every day I hear of people who are saying, look, we've done our bit. We've done enough. And then they see a court case where someone's convicted in our court who subsequently turns around to have had major convictions abroad. And you're wondering, how the hell did they get in here? We had one riot in Dublin in November that no one ever wants to see another one. There is a far-right movement growing. God knows what they'll do in the local elections. Immigration is becoming a problem with people for whom it normally wouldn't be. Ordinary, welcoming Irish people, we're the land of a thousand welcomes. People are beginning to say, enough is enough. We've done our bit. Stop this.
Well, firstly, I agree. We are a very welcoming country and I don't think that's ever going to change. Migration is a global challenge. We are not the only country grappling with the fact that we have seen such a significant increase in the number of people. And we have, in the last 2 years alone, we have seen a quadrupling, if not more, of the people coming here seeking international protection. The only way that we deal with this is by working collectively with the European Union. So the Migration Pact, which you will have heard a lot about in the last few weeks, and you'll hear more of in the coming weeks, this is the only show in town. This is a game changer because this means that we can work collectively. The idea that we would go this alone, that we would say we're not going to engage with anybody, we're going to do this on our own and close off our borders, that's not possible or not credible.
People are talking about rules. And take a thing of someone coming in here, international protection, Ukrainian, whatever they may be, they have a serious criminal record from home. Now, you mentioned Australia a while ago. I wouldn't get past passport control in Australia if I had a serious crime in my background. But where could they're coming? We don't. Are we checking people for their criminal background and saying, tough, I don't care where you're coming from, you have a rape conviction, get out. We need to start doing that, Minister.
So there is a level of checks. There will be a higher level of checks when we join the Migration Pact. So the Eurodac system, which when somebody crosses into the European Union, there are a level of checks taken. We will be able to highlight in a quicker way and in a more efficient way if somebody poses a risk when we join the pact. So there are a number of positives to this. Firstly, we will have to process people much more quickly. So if somebody comes in and they have an obligation, or we have an obligation, it's an international right for people to seek protection. If we can turn it around more quickly, it's much easier to remove a person. Well, in some instances where we believe they pose a risk, they will have their first, second and their final decision in 2 months. In years gone by, it was taking years. So we would have to legally turn them around in 2 months' time. The quicker you can turn somebody around, the easier it is to remove them. Secondly,
why, if they come without a passport, can't we put them back on the next plane?
Well, if they
wouldn't get into Australia without a passport.
People don't come into the country without a passport. So if you're on an airline, you have to have your passport getting on the plane. But people, as we know, will often try and discard of them when they're in the airport.
And why do they do that? And why, when they have done that, don't we fire them back on the next plane?
Well, there are a number of there are a number of things that happened. There are people in prison at the moment who have arrived here without documents. So to say we're not doing anything is actually not correct. So there have been quite a number of prosecutions recently where people have arrived without documents and they are in prison. So I'm very clear it is a crime. But
they're in our prison.
They're in our prison.
Why aren't they back in their own country? Why are we paying?
C-103 has been in.
Why is the taxpayer paying to keep them here?
If somebody arrives in our country and seeks international protection, we have an obligation to process them. We're no different to any other country. We signed up
even
to this.
Even if they're committing a crime and the first thing we do is put them in prison?
If they're put in prison, they serve their time, they still, under international law, have a right to seek international protection. So that might not sound right to people, but...
What it sounds like, Minister, and I'm not saying you're saying it, what it sounds like to some very reasonable people is... We've welcome for everyone, including criminals.
So can you imagine somebody arrives to this country and they have genuinely come from a war-torn country? They have genuinely been tortured. They have genuinely faced untold discrimination. And they get to this country and they believe that the only way that they can get protection is by losing their documents, by getting rid of them, by claiming protection.
Why would they lose their documents? What's to gain from that?
People are fearful. We have to try and look at this, right? There are people who don't need protection, and my view is they need to be processed, turned around quickly and sent back. There are people who are coming who are scared, who genuinely need protection, and they don't know what is the right thing to do. So we need to make sure that we can process them quickly, and if they genuinely need help, and going back to your point, we are a welcoming country that have to offer safe refuge to people. If they genuinely need our help, we identify that quickly, we decide that quickly, and then we give them help. If they don't, if they've come here for economic reasons or any other reasons and they've decided to get rid of their passport, that will be done and known very quickly too, and we turn them around and we send them back to where they've come from. But as a country, where the majority of people who come here have come from another European country first, the system we have at the moment doesn't work in returning them. It's called the Dublin 3 regulation. It should have worked better than it does. We need to be able to return people back. So if they come from another European country.
If they have a criminal record, they shouldn't get in here. A severe criminal record, they shouldn't get in here. Is that a reasonable thing to say?
And there are people every single day who are deported because they have criminal records or because they have committed crimes here. So that is a fact. Okay. There are people being deported and European citizens being deported, not just people from outside Europe. There are people being deported because they have committed crimes or because they have a criminal conviction. So that is happening, but we have to make sure that we have a system where somebody seeks protection and they genuinely need it, that we give them an opportunity to make their case. And this idea that we would not, and going back to the migration pact, this is a plan that Europe, Ireland included, have been working on for a number of years now to make sure that we have a uniform system, that people can apply it equally, and that, in particular for Ireland, if somebody arrives here where they already have protection from another country, that we can send them back there. There are people now saying that we shouldn't join this, that it will be more difficult for Ireland. It could not be further from the truth. Okay. There is nothing in this pact that will not benefit Ireland. Okay. Faster processing, greater ways to identify if somebody is a risk, better ability to return people, and access to funding to do all of this. That is what this pact will do, and that is what we need, because this is a big problem, I agree. But we have to make sure our system is firm but fair, and I believe that this will ensure that.
Lastly, and I know I've overrun our time, where are you going when you leave me? You're heading on a few engagements around Cork.
Yes, well look, I'm meeting with my colleague Senator Tim Lombard, our European candidate, John Mullins as well, and a number of councillors, and our first stop is West Cork Beacon. This is a wonderful organisation, as I mentioned earlier, that provides domestic violence services for women and their families, but also in recent months they've started providing sexual violence counselling services and support. So wanted to see the fantastic work they're doing and engage with them. Domestic and sexual violence has been a key priority for me in this department and over the last number of years in making sure that we can protect and provide supports, and above all that we can prevent this type of behaviour in as far as possible. Secondly, then we're travelling out to Kinsale, to the Well. This is again a wonderful organisation where the men's sheds are situated, where there's a number of youth services. So again, under my remit, working with my colleague James Brown, particular focus on youth diversion programs, youth services, working with younger people, trying to support them and obviously divert them away from a particular life. That's a really important part of the work that I do. So really looking forward to meeting with those teams and those services as well. And obviously delighted to be here with you this morning and having a chance to talk about these important issues.
And Minister, I really appreciate your time. You've given us over a half an hour and I really do appreciate your time. Helen McAtee, thank you.
Thank you.
Cork's 96 FM.